Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind," and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for your word, the power of your word, the grace in your word, and the insight that your word gives us. Thank you for how that your word molds and shapes us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Empower us more and more to fall more in love with you and your word with every passing day, and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Father, we love you today, and we recognize it's because you first loved us. Thank you, Father, for sending your precious Son, Jesus, to die a terrible death on the cross for us. We love you. We praise you. We lift high your name today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. We are honored and blessed today to have with us in studio Dr. Frank Turek of the ministry Cross Examined. Many of you have probably heard many times his broadcast that he does on Saturday mornings with us, but it's an honor to have him with us for the first time with us here on the Hour of Intercession. Dr. Frank, thanks for being with us today.
Pastor Joseph, great being with you. Thanks for having me.
Honor to have you on today. And if you would just for a moment tell our listeners a little bit more about you and what Cross Examined is about.
I co-wrote a book a number of years ago called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And It basically gives the argument for Christianity from the ground up. It's an apologetics book. And as you know, Pastor Joseph, doesn't mean we're apologizing. It means we're giving evidence for what we believe. And we do this at churches, high schools, and colleges. And our website, crossexamined.org, has all sorts of different insights on it, from blogs to videos to podcasts. As you know, we do one here on the American Family Radio Network, which is on Saturdays, I think, at 9 Central Time in the morning, and it's rebroadcast Sundays at 4 Central Time. Mm-hmm. And what we do there is we present evidence for Christianity. We cross-examine ideas against it. So we're really trying to engage particularly younger people, because a lot of younger people today have a lot of questions, as you know. And We try and provide evidence that Christianity is true and answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, we hope that our listeners will tune in. And, of course, your website is crossexamine.org, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you were with us this morning and did a beautiful job, shared a powerful message in our devotion here with us on the staff. And why don't you just share what you shared with us this morning?
Sure. Well, Isaiah chapter 55 is a famous passage in chapter 55, beginning in verse 8, that probably many of us have quoted. And here it is. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, this is God speaking. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I don't know about you, Pastor Joseph, but I've quoted that in the past in a way that meant, well, sure, God's knowledge is so much higher than our knowledge, right? I mean, we don't know why God allows certain things to happen and other things not to happen. Mm-hmm. And so in looking at this passage a little bit more closely, I don't think that's what this is saying. Although that's true, right, that God's knowledge is higher than our knowledge. I don't think this is what this passage is saying. Mm. As you well know, I'm sure you've probably read many times Isaiah 53 on the air, the suffering servant
the
passage.
Suffering servant.
Yes. Mm. Well, this is just a couple of chapters later after the suffering servant passage. And as you know, Isaiah is written about 700 years before Christ. Mm-hmm. And that passage in Isaiah 53, I think, is probably one of the clearest examples of prophetic prophecy about Jesus that you can find anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so two chapters after that, what Isaiah is saying, and here's what he says in verse 6 of chapter 55, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near, let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and our God, he will freely pardon. You know, he's already got the sacrifice two chapters earlier. So God can now pardon sinners. But the thing that struck me in looking at this passage is he says here in verse 7, let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. So when you go a verse down, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways. He's not talking about that God's knowledge is higher than ours. Mm-hmm. He's talking about how God's morality is higher than ours, that God's righteous ways are higher than our unrighteous ways, that God's moral ways are higher than our immoral ways.
Everything about him.
Yes. And the interesting thing is, well, everything's interesting, but the most interesting thing to me about this is he's not making a knowledge point. He's making a moral point. And so we have to ask the question, well, how much higher are God's moral ways than our immoral ways? And it's right here in verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me add a word here to make it a little clearer. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my moral ways higher than your immoral ways, and my righteous thoughts higher than your unrighteous thoughts. Mm. Now, the question is, how high are the heavens above the earth? Well, as you know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, mm-hmm. Psalm 19. Well, researchers at the University of Hawaii have estimated how many stars there are in the universe. Mm-hmm. And what they've discovered is that the number of stars in the universe are about equivalent to the number of sand grains on all the beaches on all the earth times 100,000. Can you wrap your mind around that? It's hard for me to do that. You know? I mean,
it makes us laugh to even think about
that,
how big God is.
Yeah, how amazing this is, that God's universe is a universe that has stars equivalent to sand grains on 100,000 Earths. Mm. And how far apart are those stars? Well, just in our galaxy, the stars are, the average distance between stars is 30 trillion miles. Which, by the way, is a long way. It'll take you at least two tanks of gas and a Toyota Prius to go 30 trillion miles, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we could go at space shuttle speed, Pastor Joseph, if we could get in the space shuttle and try and go from our star, the sun, to another star an average distance away, the space shuttle, when it was in orbit, was traveling at about 18,000 miles an hour. That's 5 miles per second. So if we could get in our space shuttle and go from the sun to a star an average distance away, just in our galaxy, going 5 miles a second, it would take us over 200,000 years just to go between two stars in our galaxy. And there's stars out there equivalent to sand grains on 100,000 Earths. Now we get an idea of the awesome majesty of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. In fact, Isaiah, a few chapters earlier, Isaiah 40 says this, and it's God speaking. He says, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. In other words, you want a comparison? You want to know what I'm like? Here's what God says. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these stars and named them one by one because of his great power and mighty strength? Not one of them is missing, unquote.
You know, Frank, I think of just like when I was reading Genesis 1 at the beginning, it's a great reminder that that's how God chose to introduce his whole book, by explaining the creation. And that just gives us a little understanding of it. So, but that just helps us see more, all the more, the magnitude of what you're speaking of.
So. Yes, and if God's an ounce of any attribute, he's infinite in that attribute. So if his morality is higher than the heavens are above the earth, so is his love, so is his justice, so is his knowledge. And what he says in Psalm 103 is, he says, God's love to those that fear him exceeds the height of the heavens above the earth. How high are the heavens above the earth?
Really, really high.
It's infinite from our perspective. That's the point. That's God's love. So God's not an old man on a cloud. God's not the man upstairs. God created and sustained a universe with stars equivalent to sand grains on 100,000 Earths. And there's over 200,000 years between them at 5 miles a second. You just...
Huge, huge.
Yes.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You're King of kings and Lord of lords. You're our eternal Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to live where we're always seeking you, seeking to learn you better, draw closer to you, and live more and more for you. Help us to live that way every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Frank, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Pastor Joseph. And if people want to learn more, go to crossexamined.org, crossexamined with a D on the end of it.
Thanks for stopping in.
Into the deepness, oh, when I've exhausted. sold this heart of mine. It's you. It's you. Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. Forever, road to crescendo, goodbye limbo, like a new day dawning. Show me the window where I can see it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you.
The music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, in our first segment, that was Dr. Frank Turek that was with us with the ministry Cross Examine that you can hear on American Family Radio on Saturday mornings. And you can go to his website to find more information about Dr. Frank Turek and his ministry at crossexamined.org. Hope you'll take the time to do that. For the balance of the broadcast, we're looking at the topic, A Life on Fire for the Lord. And I'm going to be sharing from some articles that we've written and shared on the American Family Association, The Stand, largely, and hope that you'll take to heart. And one important goal that we're pursuing here is helping us all to grow an understanding of the fact that God calls us to be filled with His Holy Spirit, set on fire with His Holy Spirit, and living with a passion for God and the things of God all of our lives. We begin by looking in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14, it tells us, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, I'm going to read that one more time. Listen closely to what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Then in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." All of Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Father, thank you again for the privilege we have of knowing you and being able to walk with you every day. Thank you for every one of us. Touch us, Lord. Help us to repent of any wrong we've done against you. Forgive us for our wrongs. Fill us anew with your Spirit. Set us on fire, fresh with your Holy Spirit. Help us to know, Lord, that today and every day is a day to live with a passion for you and for your work and your will and the building of your kingdom, and make us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to share from an article I wrote that was on the American Family Association's The Stand, AFA Stand, entitled "The Bible, Autobiography of God." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. And then John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is the book of all books. It's the only book in the world authored by God. He used around 40 or so secretaries or scribes to write it, but it is his book. The Bible is many things. Amongst other things, it is an autobiography. It's a book by God about himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything in God's word points to him. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points the world to him, the God who is love, the God who is almighty, the creator of the universe, the God who is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's word is the best-selling book in the world by far. It's the best-selling book every year. It's the most read book in the world. It seems that the one book in the world authored by the creator of the universe, a book by him, about him, should be the bestseller in the world. How is the Bible an autobiography? Consider the following truths. God is the Father, Jehovah. He is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, John chapter 1, verse 1. Every word in the Word of God is Jesus, and he is found in every word. You find Christ in every book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ is in every book. Each book is the mind of Christ, the counsel of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and the heart of Christ. So the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are one, John chapter 10, verse 30. Consider the following. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. God introduces himself in Genesis. Genesis is 50 chapters. It contains four key events: the creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. It also tells us about four key characters in the book of Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Early in Genesis, we learn that God calls his people to trust him and to live by faith in him and in his word. This message continues throughout the rest of the Bible in the other 65 books. The just shall live by faith. When men and women trust and obey God, they are blessed as a result. When they disobey him and choose not to trust him, they always lose. What then is faith? Faith is trusting and believing God and his word. And from Genesis to Revelation, God rewards those who trust him and his word. And he judges those who choose not to trust him. So the Bible is truly the autobiography of God. In it we come to know God, his wisdom, and his ways and character. Well, when people come to know Christ and seek to become diligent, faithful followers of him, then they're wise. They're acting in great wisdom. We're all called to be faithful students of his word. Today is a good day to start the journey into God's word. That is the journey to get to know God better, your Heavenly Father. If you'd like to know Christ personally, would like to invite him to put into your heart, then pray this or similar prayer in order to make that step. Now, a salvation prayer, if you'd like to pray this along with us. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I have sinned and done wrong. Forgive me of all the wrong I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 11 excellent reasons to read the Word of God every day. Number one, it tells you how to be genuinely saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number two, it gives you clear guidance and direction for your life. Number three, it empowers your prayer life. A fourth reason to read the Word daily, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. A fifth reason, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. Seven, it increases the anointing on every area of your life. Eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and personality. And 10, it pours grace, joy, and peace into your spirit, your mind, and your life. And 11th reason to read the Word daily, in direct statement or in principle, God's Word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic in all of life. Again, the title of this particular article is The Bible, Autobiography of God. Again, the title of that article was The Bible, Autobiography of God. Well, again, one of our encouragements to you is if you don't have the habit of reading God's Word every day, today is a great day to start that very important habit of reading God's Word every single day. I hope that you'll take the time to do that. Next, we're looking at an article entitled Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. Again, this second article is Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. Once again, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Genesis is a wonderful, powerful, and supernatural book. It is the introductory book to the Word of God. Therefore, it is the book that begins to answer our questions about God. One might ask, in what way is the Bible, the written Word of God, the book of answers? In life, people may ask many questions about life, real questions that they wish to get answers for. Questions such as, where did we come from? Who created us? Who created the world? Who created the universe? What is the purpose of life? What is my individual purpose? These are only a few of many legitimate questions that people ask sometimes. If you were to ask many scientists in our culture today, what are some of your main goals and what is your purpose in studying science? Many would probably respond, we're trying to find out who we are and where we come from. Yet it is God's Word that gives us answers to all of our questions. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22, the final chapter in the book of Revelation and the book of the whole Bible, the Word of God has answers, many, many answers. What else would we expect from a book authored by the Creator of the universe? He, of course, has answers that no one else would even begin to have. Where did we come from? And who created us? We were created by and come from God, Genesis 1 through 2. A second question, who created the world? Well, from Genesis chapter 1, we find out God did. A third question, who created the universe? From Genesis chapter 1, we find out God did. A fourth question, what is the purpose of life? From Genesis chapters 1 and 2, to know and serve God. A fifth question, what is my individual purpose? Genesis chapters 1 through 2 and Matthew chapter 6, 33, to know and serve God and seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. The next question, how did sin come into the world? The devil tempted man to sin who gave in to the temptation and rebelled against God. And we find that found in Genesis chapter 3. Well, the next question, who is Jesus Christ? Well, the answer, of course, he is the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world, as John chapter 1, verse 29 and John 3:16 also allude to. The next question, how did God provide a remedy for the problem of sin? Well, again, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die on the cross to pay for our sins, who then rose from the dead, providing a way for us to be saved. The next question, what will happen in the world during the end times? Well, the answer, the books of Daniel and of Revelation give us insights about things that will happen in the end times of history. If you haven't already, if you aren't already in the habit of reading the Word of God every day, today is a great day to start. Reading 3 chapters in the Bible a day is a great growth goal for any believer. So for anyone who will embark upon the journey to start reading the Word of God daily, begin in the book of Genesis. Today is the day you may begin to receive answers to some of your biggest questions. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We just read an article. This article is entitled Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. My email is jparker@afa.net if you'd like to get a copy. We'll be right back. Music from Mosaic, the song simply entitled Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic specifically, a life on fire for the Lord. And keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is a fire, and he's burning in the heart of every single believer all over the world. And there are things we as believers can do. John Wesley's word for spiritual habits was means of grace, things that we can do to cause the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Well, reading the Word of God is one of those things. Spending time with God in prayer is another. obeying the word of God, walking in love, walking in grace, giving, just different spiritual habits that are, these are things that pour fuel on the fire of the Holy Spirit so that he burns brighter and brighter and brighter. Hope that you'll make it a goal to be doing that more and more in your life. We're continuing to share readings from The Stand, and at this time I'm going to read and then just share an additional article again. And once again, if you'd like to get a copy of any of the articles we've mentioned, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send them to you again, jparker@afa.net. Once again, reading from Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, this is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God cures all the ills of life. Christ told us in the Word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every human being needs Jesus desperately. By simply starting the habit of reading three chapters in the Bible every day, God's Word will begin to bring healing, grace, and blessing to every part of your life. You're not too busy to read the Word of God, in spite of the fact that you may think that you are. In fact, one could say that you and I cannot afford to neglect reading the Word of God. Open your Bible and let God pour grace and healing into your life today. Our lives cry out for the Word of God. Psalm 42 tells us, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Verses 1 through 11, all of Psalm 42. Well, once again, sharing the final article we'll be sharing today. It's entitled, The Word of God, No Apologies Necessary. Again, The Word of God, No Apologies Necessary. The Word of God is the key to life. The Word of God is God. We were created by him, as Genesis chapter 1 lets us know. And we're sustained by him, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and Acts chapter 17, verse 28. God and his word are truth. It is truth that sets people free. All people of every nation and tongue are totally dependent on him, whether they know it or not. And we know true freedom and grace as we walk in the light and wisdom of the word of God. Communities and nations rise and fall on the application, or the lack thereof, of applying the wisdom of God found in his word. The United States of America was built on the foundation of the word of God. All wisdom, all truth, all understanding, all morality, all common sense flows from God and his word. All good, righteous, fruitful, and productive laws and public policy flow from the wisdom of the word of God. apart from God, you have no standard of right and wrong. Without God and His Word, there is chaos, confusion, darkness, and hopelessness. Consequently, it is quite foolish for people, especially those who are in positions of leadership, to feel the need to apologize for referring to or mentioning insight based on the Word of God. For people to conclude that in certain settings it is inappropriate or wrong, quote unquote, to speak of and bring up the Word of God only reflects a lack of confidence in the Word of God and faith in the author, as he is the source of all blessing, goodness, grace, fruitfulness, and all things positive. We need the Word of God, the wisdom of God, and the counsel of God in all places and in all circumstances. There is no place that it is inappropriate to use or allude to God's Word. It is, in fact, wicked to have rulers or laws that deny anyone the freedom to read, speak of, or use the Word of God in any context. Believers should never apologize for believing, quoting, or affirming the Word of God. No, not ever or in any situation. Why should anyone ever apologize for acknowledging God or for using His wisdom? Rather, we should boldly speak of, read, and reference the Word of God and our total dependence on His all-powerful Word. Again, the title of this article, The Word of God, No Apologies Necessary. And again, if you'd like to get a copy of this article or any of the articles we've shared today, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And I want to share with you a project that we've shared about before, but I want to remind you about, and I want to challenge you to get involved with it. We here at American Family Radio have a project. It's called the Ten Commandments Project. And we're challenging you to use it as a discipleship project for you as an individual parent or for you and your church as well. Two aspects of the project are such that, for example, if your child's, and what you can do is email me to get the information about this at jparker@afa.net. But if you have your child to simply memorize the Ten Commandments in short form, all they need to do is memorize them and recite them to you. And once they've recited them to you, all you have to do is call us, get in touch with us, and let us know the size your child needs. And we need your mailing address, and we'll mail you a shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back for your child. So the project consists of them memorizing the Ten Commandments and reciting them to you, and simply email them to us. Email us your address and the size, or call us, and we'll get a shirt to you, a free shirt for your young person. This is a project a parent can do. Grandparents, you can do this as well. Aunts and uncles, you can do it, or persons that are interested in impacting the kids in your church family or in your community. And the reason that's important, and one of the reasons why we want to encourage you to do it, is because the devil is trying to destroy our children. We see where you have children killing other children, young people killing other young people, children destroying themselves through drug abuse and other things, sad things going on in the world. And Jesus really is the answer to all of that. And the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And helping our children to come to know Christ and help them to plant the Word of God in their minds and their hearts, that's the answer to the world's, that's a key to the world's problems. Let's take time to do that. A second part of the Ten Commandments Project is a speech contest. And we have monetary prizes as well as a gift for every single young person that participates. But basically, if a young person will write a speech about one of the Ten Commandments and just basically record themselves on their phone, 3 to 5 minute speech, and send it to us. Again, we do have a contest where there will be monetary prizes for some of the top winners, but some sort of award or gift will be given to every single young person that participates. But they just simply doing a speech, 3 to 5 minutes. Now, keep in mind, if they want to participate, but they need help with the speech, we'll be glad to help them with the speech. In fact, we have one or more people that will help them to write the speech. So just get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. And the number to call, 662-844-5036, extension 381. All of us can get involved with helping to disciple our children, because our kids desperately need to know Jesus. They need Jesus more than they need the air that they breathe. Let's all get involved with helping to help our kids to come to know Christ and to begin to grow in their walk with Him. In the final moments, again, as usual, if you have never made the step of asking Jesus to come into your heart, if you're not saved and you want to be saved, would you simply pray this prayer with me today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so very much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I've sinned in so many ways, Lord. Forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord, in a brand new way, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your Spirit, help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to hear from you, and we look forward to hearing from you as well. And if you made that step, we want to share with you some materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the email jparker@afa.net. Or if you'd like any of the articles that we shared early in the broadcast, same email. Or if you want information about the Ten Commandments Project, again, email us at jparker@afa.net. I hope we get lots and lots of believers, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, and just concerned men and women who want to impact our kids for the kingdom of God. Hope you'll do that. Once again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.